don't you understand?
Love Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone, and good evening, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to, you know, the Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are the news, information, education, global communications nation right here, as it applies of the impact of race. And we want to say thanks to BW, Moving Images, Tylon Washington, Ayanna Jones, Shauna Glover, Eric Payne, Lisa Payne, Ty Jr., and for Ty's 1, 2, 3, and 4, for their creative work on films, documentary, letting your life stories be heard. I mean, really, Ayanna, are you there? Ayanna Jones, are you there on the air?
I'm here.
Yeah, listen, Gus is under the weather a little bit, so, you know, we're going to be doing this. You know, I'm here at home talking to you. He's a little bit under the weather. He'll be here next week. But really, isn't this exciting?
Don't
you know, I'm telling you, there's so many things in the news. You know, we were talking about a new segment called Did You Know? It's spelled D-I-J-A-N-O. What do you think that stands for? Yes.
Did you know?
Did you know? D-I-J-N-O. I mean, it's corny, but did you know? Did you know about all these things going on? There's so many things. In fact, would you like to know who invented the cell phones? An African-American inventor of the cell phones. His name is Henry Sampson from Jackson, Mississippi. He attended Morehouse, and he has an M.S. in engineering from the University of California, and also, you know, a degree from... And in electrical something or other, I forget, I have to turn my pages and I just drop the page. Isn't that great? But anyway, he devised this cellular thing that is so necessary for cell phones, and his name is Henry Sampson. So I'll give you more about that just as soon as I can locate that page again. You know, I'm having a little difficulty here in the office. But anyway, oh, here it is. He first received a PhD from Illinois. And he was the first African-American to do so, and the first African-American to receive a Ph.D., rather, in nuclear engineering in 1971. He was awarded a patent. Forget this. He was awarded a patent for the gamma electric cell used in cell phone. There you have it. There's another thing that's, you know, a did you know? Do you know? Sophia Stewart. Do you know that she was the one who had the copyright and wrote... the copyright wrote Matrix, you know, now she has a case of copyright infringement against those people who have made a lot of money from Matrix and another film that I understand.
Wow.
So really big information. We're going to be getting more information about this as we go on. There's a couple of other people I want to mention really fast, and that is Tichina Arnold. Do you remember Tichina Arnold from Martin's fame?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's playing the Lena Baker story. Now, the name of this film, I think it's a film, is Hope and Redemption. This is the only woman, to be executed in Georgia. And she's doing this film, and it's a new role for Tichina because, you know, she is known for Martin and, you know, for, you know, being a comedian. But I understand that she's doing a fantastic job at this. So this is another thing for people to, you know, take advantage of and make sure they put on their calendar to, you know, think about. Also, I want to tell people about you guys over there at BW Moving Images with the New Pro Radio Network. Tell us about that, Ayanna.
It's the GoPro Radio Network, fantastic service that we have for people who have online radio shows. Basically,
right.
We help you engineer your show, do all those things so that you can sound great on the air behind a mic, and also help people to market their shows and even format them and put them together.
And in other words, exactly what you're doing for us.
There you go.
You know, exactly. I mean, and we wouldn't be able to do without you.
Right.
So tell us about the rest of the things that you guys are doing.
Oh, what aren't we doing? We're producing documentary films. We're working on a really powerful one right now based on the life of Marsha Coleman Adebayo, who is a whistleblower that, you know, is championing the rights of South African minors who are still to this day being poisoned by vanadium. And she's been discriminated against at the Environmental Protection Agency, the very place that should be helping these people.
Yeah.
You know, told her to be quiet about it. It's a battle that was over a decade, and, you know, we're going to tell her story because people like that who have that kind of courage, they need to be applauded. So
yeah. And what's the name of that film, you know, the short that you guys did over there at BW Moving Images?
It's called No Fear, the Marsha Coleman Adebayo story.
Yeah.
directed by none other than Tylon Xavier Washington.
Mm-hmm. And I saw it. It's absolutely fantastic. How can people get to see that, by the way?
They can go
to... Not the whole film, but it's a short about the film. Am I correct?
Right. And there's actually a number of pieces that we've put up there, even one where we were at the Congressional Black Caucus this year with Congressman Donald Payne. That was a great honor. And you can go to www.bwmovingimages.com. And if you go there, the site has links to everything that we've produced, and you can just peruse it at your leisure.
And it's a vast number of things. I mean, you guys are so creative. You know, we are so glad that we are in business with you. I mean, Gus and I, you know, we reinvented ourselves because, as you know, we've been on the air for a long period of time. And, you know, we have a lot of things that we want to talk about, and a lot of them are, you know, we refer to things that have happened, that has happened in the past. And, for instance, I know pretty soon we're going to be doing the video portions of a lot of the interviews that I have. And some of the interviews, as a matter of fact, we have from the archives or from the vault, we're going to be talking about the interviews that we did with Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark and Dr. Van Sertimer and also Lenny Gunther. We're going to be showing in the interviews about Wyatt Walker, Sammy Davis, Rosa Parks, Dennis Brutus, who was the South African exile, you know, who was in jail at the same time, around the same time that Nelson Mandela was there. Ronald Brooks, you know, the young man who was in jail and, had to have a minister to get him out because he was in solitary confinement for a long period of time, and he was paralyzed at the same time. By the way, he sued New Jersey prisons or something like that, and he won his case. Anyway, I also have interviews with Gil Noble and Gus Henningberg on the same show. We're going to be showing that. Dr. Benjamin Davis, Governor Thomas Kane, former Mayor Sharp James. It's a whole lot of people. And you know one thing I added? Also, I'm really tickled because, you know, today we're going to be talking to a poet, and her name is Lafie. Are you there, Lafie?
Well, she's not on yet. We're going to be bringing her on in just a few minutes.
Okay.
And she's actually going to read some of her poetry.
I know. You know, let me give a little bit of information about her, you know, before I leave and listen in. But she is an artist and an author, a poet, and a musician. Her poetry is not to be believed. It is so emotional. It is so... She's an activist. It is so motivational, all right? She's also a musician and vocalist. She's a storyteller, and I love storytellers, and her poetry tells the story. She earned a B.S. degree, and she also went to Albany State University, got a master's degree and postgraduate studies, University of Toledo. She's a retired educator, 30-year career, includes former teacher, counselor, administrator, Toledo Public and Toledo Christian Schools, served in Ohio Air Force Guard, 180th Fighter Wing in Swanton, Ohio, as administrative specialist, education training manager, substance abuse coordinator, counselor rather, currently serving as musician at Grace Presbyterian Church in Ohio. And then she enjoys performing poetry and music in the Toledo area. I mean, she's absolutely fantastic, and it's a pleasure to really have her on. She has published 2 books of poetry. You will want to read her poetry. I mean, she is absolutely wonderful. I love her poetry.
I'm excited just about some of the titles. Like,
I'm
dying to hear that one.
Yeah, what are the names of some of the others that you may be reading?
The Empty Place, Down in My Tunnel Rhythm Makes Her Sound. Wow, and then A Gift from Beyond. And, you know, they just sound like really, really fantastic poems. We actually are going to go to break in 1 minute, Kay.
Okay.
Go and leave me all by myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we be there? But we will be there next week with a whole lot of other dynamite stuff. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking to a young lady who's an architectural student. And as a matter of fact, it's the first time that we would like to have a couple of other people on our team, young people, like Tie 1, Tie 2, or Tie 3, you know, to help with this interview with Brianna Scott. She's an architecture major at NJIT. And what she's going to be doing is telling students how to fill out all these darn forms.
Wow.
You know, when you enter into college, and also how to get the scholarship money. There's scholarship money out of there. It is so many forms, like, it's absolutely unbelievable, but we're going to give people information. And who better to talk to her, you know, are the younger people who are also getting ready to go to college. So I think that's a real plus. Well, but anyway, we're going to be taking a break.
Yeah, and before we go, I just want to thank you because, you know, you always have so much really important information on this show. And, you know, it's a pleasure to be able to sit in for Gus. I'm sorry he's not feeling well, but hopefully mm-hmm. it'll do a good job for you guys. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thanks, Kay. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking with Poet Lafitte.
Restless, nigga. Might snatch your necklace. The next thing,
nigga.
Might jack your Lexus. Somebody said
he,
who Kanye West is. I walk through the valley of the shy with death is. Top floor, if you alone, I leave you breathless. Try to catch it, kind of hard getting choked by the Texas. Yeah, yeah, that's check the method. They be asking us questions, harassing, arresting. Saying we eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast, huh? Y'all eat pieces of shit? What's the basis? We ain't going to wherever got suits and cases. A trunk full of coke, rental car from Avis. My mama used to say only he could save us. Well, mama, I know I act a fool, but I'll be gone till November. I got packed to move. I hope God show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down. The only thing that I pray is that my feet don't fail me now. And I don't think there's nothing I can do now to right my wrong. I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid to say
so. The Kay and Gus Show. My name's Ayanna Jones. I'm actually filling in for Kay and Gus today. We got a chance to talk with Kay briefly. She is standing by, helping Gus, who's not feeling well, so we really miss them this week. But we have a fantastic treat. Today, we are talking with a poet. Now, one of the fantastic things about this segment is that it's called a speakeasy segment. And what it is a forum for us to give exposure to folks, not only who are writers or poets, but who self-publish. So in the spirit of entrepreneurship, you know, it brings me great pleasure to have on the air with me today, Poet Lafitte. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Kay and Gus Show. This is really exciting. This is probably one of the first times that we've actually had someone read poetry on the show. You know, I don't want to take up too much time talking about it. I want our listeners to be able to hear you right away. But before we do that, I just want to tell folks, if you are listening, and you can definitely call us, the number to reach us is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906, and you can call in and talk with Poet Lafitte about her art and, you know, pretty much anything else that we're going to be discussing today. I like the conversations to sort of flow into a nice organic convo. So, and I think that your poetry is a great way to start that off. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the poems that you're going to read today, and I'll let you take it from here.
Yes, I'll begin with the poem entitled My Gift from Beyond. I call it my signature poem, and I use it as an introduction because the poem itself tells you a little bit about who I am as a poet.
Oh, okay.
My pseudonym is Poet Lafitte. What I do is poetry in my heart and in my soul. A story of hope doth unfold. For 64 years I have lived, gained, and lost. Some choices made, I paid a cost. I'm a child of chaos who found peace. Poetry calms my raging beast. Sometimes to avoid a verbal fight, I will just sit down and write. Had it not been for poetry in my heart and in my head, some among us might be dead. So often I wanted to just scream and shout, but I'd write a poem to get it out. A gift from beyond. Poetry is to me. It helps in maintaining my sanity. At first, you see, I did not want to write. I was angry and frustrated. I wanted to fight. But I had to find a better way to express what I need to say in a poetic way. Poetry comes from another place, far beyond time and space, emanating from the collective soul and far more valuable than purest gold. Poetry transcends humanity, allows us to touch infinity, even connect with divinity. In poetry, we can be what we were meant to be for time and eternity. So, wherever you go, whatever you do, find that poet that lives in you. Thank you.
Wow. That was a gift from beyond, and that was actually a gift right here. We just, you know, were treated to some of the best poetry I've heard in a while, and I really, really like your delivery. You make people want to, you know, you make people want to hear more, but more importantly, you make people want to hear the next line, you know, and what inspires you to write this poetry?
Well, basically, when I started writing, it truly was therapy for me. It was a way of working through my frustrations. I had no intentions of sharing it with anybody or publishing or any of that. That just sort of evolved. Because as I did share it with people one-on-one, it seemed to touch their souls, and they seemed to appreciate it so very much. So they encouraged me, like, why don't you get published? When are you going to publish something? So, you know, being the lazy person that I can be sometimes, I would say, well, after I retire, well, you know, when you work in retirement, seems like a fantasy that's never going to come true. But finally, after I had been retired for 2 years, some of my friends reminded me that I had promised that I was going to get something published after retirement. And it has turned out that I've published 2 books to date. I've written over 2,000 poems, but the first book I published had 102 poems, one poem for each year of the life of my grandmother, who lived 102 years.
Wow.
And I dedicated that book to her. And then the second book has about 250 poems in it. I was able to put things in the second book that I could not put in the first book, because the first book was written as a work of art, because I had received a grant through the National Endowment of the Arts. So there were restrictions on, you know, what I could put in it. But the second book I financed myself, so I put everything in there I wanted to put in there.
Well, your journey sounds like an interesting one, because as an artist, you got to experience success on so many different levels. I mean, you received a grant, so, you know, obviously, you know, there was some sentiment that your work was really, really stellar. And then you got a chance to actually self-publish, to do it for yourself as an entrepreneur and see what that feels like. So that must have been fantastic for you. So you said you've written over 2,000 poems?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've had a lot of things to work out in this life with that many poems. Because actually, sometimes I'll just sit down and write when I'm dealing with something. Some people call it journaling, which is the same thing. I just happen to do it in rhyme, and I call it poetry. But it's the same thing.
So how were you able, with the first instance of publishing, and then with the second, with 100 poems out of 2,000, and then 250 out of, how were you able to make the decision out of so many poems to be able to whittle it down to just 100 or even 250?
Oh, that's a great question. Now, at the time that the first book was published in 2002, I had only written about 1,300, but yet it was a monumental task to narrow it down to 100. Well, I had planned to do 100 when I wrote the grant. I said I was going to do 100 poems, and I was going to do it in 5 categories. But when I sat down to reread all of the poetry, which, oh, Lord, that was a real test. And what I did, I asked some of my friends, I took them hostage, and I said, I'll treat you to lunch or dinner if you'll help me select the poems. And we'd sit and read to each other and make it, and then we put them in 3 piles, yes, no, and maybe. So out of the 1,300 poems, we narrowed it down to 366. I remember that number because it's 365 days for the year. And we had thought about maybe doing a book called A Poem a Day. But I had already written a grant, you know, saying that I was going to do 100 poems in 5 categories. Because I just figured out the Clear Blue Sky five categories would be. Well, it turned out that the poems fell in about 40 categories. That was a big shocker. But when we would read poems through, when I would read to my a friend, and they'd read back, and we'd put them into piles, and we got the pile down to the yes pile down to 366 poems. Then we went through the yes pile, and we kept doing the process of elimination until we got it down to 102. And then I'm like, I can't eliminate two poems. Come on now. Come on. I just can't. I can't. And a friend of mine says, how old was your grandmother when she died? I says, 102. She said, that's why you can't eliminate two, because you have one for each year of her life. That's who you're dedicating the book to. And I go, whoa, I would never have come up with that on my own.
That's what I love, because even outside of the poems, you can express your creativity through how you format the book, and you can express symbolism that's important to you. Like, for example, it being 102 poems to reflect, you know, someone, you know, or, you know, to at least acknowledge the life of someone that was dear to you. And I think that's amazing. We actually are going to go to break in about 4 minutes. And I'm hoping that before we do that, we can hear another one of your wonderful poems, maybe one of the shorter ones, just so that we can give our listeners something to give our listeners something to marinate on when we come back from break. So do you want to read another poem for us, please?
Okay, why don't I read Upon Awakening? This is one of my favorite. It's written in sapphic syllabic meter, and I'll talk about that after the break. Okay. Upon awakening, gratitude floating on the surface of my consciousness, seeping into the crevices even of egoic mind stuff, penetrates my body and soul. Even below the depth of my mortal womb, my healing begins from the inside to the outer limits of my being, where polar opposites can merge into a singularity of conscious being, present moment awareness of all that is. I awaken knowing that I am one with the cosmos. That is one of my favorite poems. You know, as you write, some things you like better than others. But that little short one is one of my favorite.
That's a great way to take us into the break. We are going to go to break, and we'll be back in just a minute with Poet Lafee. This is Ayanna Jones for the Kay and Gus Show, sitting in for Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg. We'll be right back. Kay and Gus Show. I'm Ayanna Jones, filling in for Kay and Gus. I just want to remind folks that number for you to call into the show, 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906. Our guest today is Poet Lafee, and actually we have a caller on the line. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Ayanna. I'm back on the air. This is Kay Thompson calling. Listen, I want to just ask Lafee a question about, I understand that she and her husband, you know, had a visit from President Obama.
Absolutely. He came to the Toledo area, and because a friend of ours has a relative that works on Air Force One, we were able to board the aircraft and was on a guided tour. It was wonderful.
I saw those pictures, Luffy.
Absolutely. We were in seventh heaven. I tell you, it was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of dream to be able to get a personal tour on Air Force One. Oh, man. It was incredible.
Now, did he know that you were a part of the military? Tell us about that.
Well, no, because he came in town to visit the unions. This is a real strong union area, Toledo area. And even if you were military, there were people there from military branches trying to get on, but they could not. You had to be pre-approved. You know, they did an investigation on you. You had to submit your name and everything, and you had to be related back to someone that works on Air Force One in order to go on this particular tour.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter. Some guys from the 180th Air Guard were there who wanted to go on because their base, see, when they flew into the Toledo Airport, the Air National Guard base is right, they share runways, so it's like right on the other side of the airport. And, of course, my husband, Edgar, was a member of the 180th for 32 years, and he was the first African-American or American of African descent to hold the second highest post on that base. He was the vice wing commander before he retired. So that, you know, he's part of the history of the area.
Shall I sing the national anthem? I want to say hello to the captain.
Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Colonel Thompson. Thompson, who I understand is your cousin.
That's right. We are related, and I'm so glad to hear your poetry, and you know, to let that out, because that was really very important. Now, you guys are from Virginia, am I right?
Yes, he's from Virginia. I'm from Georgia.
How well I know.
As a matter of fact, my mom is 97-year-old. She's a breast cancer survivor. She had a mastectomy at age 87, and she's a cancer survivor at 97. She's doing very well. She lives in Albany.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, that's good. Now, Lafie, you know one thing, Ayanna, you know, we need to hear a couple more of Lafie's poems.
Before we hear it,
do you have one picked, or does she? Do you have one picked, Lafie?
Before we go to a new poem, I wanted Lafie to elaborate on the last poem she read before the break, because she wanted to give us some special information about the meter of the poem, I believe it was.
Oh, okay. Terrific. Yeah, terrific.
Yes. It was written in staffic syllabic meter. So before I published the book, I only wrote poetry out of my heart and soul. But when I wrote the grant, I had to get involved with the poetic community, which I was, you know, I was a retired educator, years in public education. So I didn't really know a lot about people in the arts and, you know, writing, whatever. But I entered a contest at the Toledo Museum of Art, and they asked me if I would be entering a sonnet or a ballad. Or I said, wait a minute, I write free verse out of my heart and soul. They said, well, if you want to enter this contest, you're going to have a classical style. So I had to go back to school, so to speak. I had to go to the library and select what I wanted to do. And I found a style by Sappho, the lyric poetess. She wrote in a style where you had to have a certain number of syllables in each line, and that whole style just intrigued me, and I taught myself
now, what is that
how to write in
what
that,
is that
style.
Again?
Sapphic,
now, what is that style called?
Sappho.
Sapphic syllabic meter.
I see, and you have to have how many lines or how many words?
Yeah, each verse has four lines. The first three lines must have 11 syllables, and the fourth line must have only 5 syllables.
I see.
And
Was that difficult to do or what?
It forced me to discipline my writing. That was one of the best things that ever happened to me in my writing. And I mean, I hollered and screamed. I write the way I write, and I don't want to conform to. But, you know, discipline is always good in whatever art you know. So that was a turning point for me.
You know, and what that's interesting?
Some of my best poetry, in my opinion, is poetry that I've written in sapphic syllabic meter.
You know what I think's interesting about that whole process of forcing yourself to put your poems in a different form? You find you use words you probably wouldn't use. I think it actually does hone your writing, and it makes you come up with things you otherwise wouldn't if you were
absolutely
allowed to just run free, you know.
Absolutely.
So yes. let me ask you this, Lafie. So if when you incorporated those forms, did you feel this urge to go back to free verse? Do you now go back and forth easily between the two? Is there one you prefer now after that experiment?
No, I go back and forth. I go back and forth. But if I get stuck in when I'm writing, I'll sort of force myself to go into writing by sapphic syllabic meter, and it opens me up a bit.
Mm.
So, you know, I like free verse. I like them both.
Can we hear some more?
Well, you know, since you mentioned that, why don't
do
I
that?
Do the poem that I read at the museum, the poem that I wrote specifically for that contest. And by the way, I came in second place in that particular contest.
Hey.
I had never entered a poetry contest before. Like, yes! And the poem that is entitled, Down in My Tunnel, Rhythm Make Her Sound. And perhaps you can listen for the syllables. Can't see a light at the end of my tunnel, but I know that there is hope unfolding there. The light of faith in my soul shines eternal. Love is everywhere. Rhythm flowing into night, creating rhyme, skipping over into light. Mystical sound moves up and down. Love will come bright as the sun. When the night is done, I must be true to myself, in honesty, never lying near an edge where I can't see. I hear the light, sound so bright, releases fear. Love rhymes in my ear. This is her plight. She will fight to bring me joy. Bursting into boom, 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 light of the moon. At my midnight, sound is right. She comes around, rhythm makes her sound. Thunder, wonder, lightning strike to bring the light, defining both day and night. Peace in my soul. Overflowing emotions move to the place where my truth is told. Down in my tunnel, where rhythm makes her sound. Love there is found. Then I hear that lovely note, flashes of light, sound so bright. Now I can be. All is well with me. And that's another one of my favorites.
Wow. Yeah,
that was my first effort on sapphic syllabic meter.
That's awesome. I have goosebumps.
Ayana?
Yes.
You know, listen, Lafie, let me tell you about Ayana Natasol. She is an artist. She is a fantastic vocalist, singer, creator, and writer. And I know you, Ayana, to know you that you and enough that you are appreciating this kind of poetry. It is absolutely beautiful, and it's coming from the soul, and I feel it through the phone. And I'm quite sure the two of you will have something to talk about. As a matter of fact, since Lafie is on the phone, you may even want to consider music, Lafie, behind it, written by Black Wax, EW Moving Images. This is what they do. Am I right, Ayana?
You're absolutely right. I told you before at the top of the show that we have our hands in everything. So it's not just film. It's also music production. We have a wonderful facility here where we have a recording studio. We have a sound room that can fit like a 9-piece band comfortably. We edit here. We edit our films. We shoot. We have our own equipment. One of the things that I really love about the Speakeasy segment is that, it focuses on independence, the independence of the artist, because that's something that we really try to push here at BW Moving Images. One of the reasons why I'm so proud of Kay and Gus, who, you know, they talk about reinventing themselves. But I think the interesting thing here, it's not just, we stepped away from radio for a while and we're coming back. you're coming back to a whole different platform. Online radio, it's a whole nother animal, and you guys have just sort of, you know, come back into it so seamlessly. And what I like about LaFie, and I could definitely hear some music behind you, or maybe even a documentary about your life. We're working on something called Your Story, where everybody has a story, and you don't have to be famous to have a film made about your life. And you can come here, BW Moving Images, and you can tell those stories. Not even that story, but Poet LaFie, we could tell the story of your grandmother who lived to be 102 years old and who
absolutely
and who influenced you in a way so much so that you're churning out some of the most beautiful poetry I've heard in a long time.
I'm telling you.
Know? So, I mean, those are some of the things that we do. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask is, outside of your grandmother, who inspires you as a writer?
Oh, my mother, my family especially, the children that I work with for 30 years in Toledo Public Schools, and I've done some poetry since I've started teaching dance. I took up dancing back in 08, and now I'm teaching a dance class, and some of the poetry has come out of my frustration of trying to learn how to dance. But and the people at church, just whatever I am involved in my life is where the poetry comes from, but it usually comes when I'm dealing with something difficult. Now, people have commissioned me to write poetry for different occasions, and I do that as well. So I do some positive poetry, but a lot of it comes out of pain, suffering, surrender, challenges in life. Because when I get kind of what I call jacked out of my space, I'll start writing for real.
Mm-hmm. Ayana,
name of a poem.
Ayana LaFie is also a dancer. You know, she has line dancing out there in Toledo, Ohio, that's going around the country. That is absolutely fantastic. LaFie, why don't you tell us a little bit about that? We want to get involved in that some kind of way.
But you know, your conversation reminded me of something that I experienced a few years ago. A dance company had invited me to write a poem for them to dance to, and I had never seen dance and movement to the spoken word. That was just unbelievable. And then I recently received a tape with spoken word and music in the background, and I could see the dancing, the three art forms coming together in one. It just thrills me. It thrills me as to what can be done. But to see the dance done to spoken word with no music is mind blowing. And we have from that downtown Toledo at a reflecting pool. It was something to remember. And I was going to say, I have a poem here entitled "Teacher, Are You There?" which is an example of a poem that came out of my frustration with the situation. It was back in 1989, and this is number 59 in my collection, so that tells you how far back it's been. I've written over 2,000 poems. I keep them numbered, and I keep them in chronological order, and this one was number 59, and I was an assistant principal at an elementary school where a teacher had brought a kid in that she wanted him to be suspended, and basically, she was sort of frustrated and tired and didn't know how to handle the child. And the child had not done anything to be suspended. But as the assistant principal, you know, I'm supposed to take the side of the teacher, and I happen to be the person who would take the side with the children. And we had a conflict there, and I was kind of told that, you know, a whole lot of people in line for your job, and if you really want it, you're going to have to do what the person in charge says, do, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Well, it bothered me a lot because I had to sign my name to the suspension, put this child out of school, nothing more than to give the teacher a break. And it sort of triggered something in me regarding my own experience in growing up. And this poem, after I wrote this poem, I could live with myself.
Well, Poet LaFie, I don't want to break your stride, but we do have to take a break. So can we come back in with that poem?
It gives us
something to look forward to.
Yes.
All right, so folks, we're going to take a break. The number to call in is 323-679-0906, 323-679-0906. You are listening to the Kay and Gus Show. here on the GoPro Radio Network at BW Moving Images. I'm Ayanna Jones, and we'll be right back.
Every day and every night, we'll be together. With the roof right over our heads, we'll share the shelter. Of my single bed, we'll share the same room, yeah. Put up a pot of bread.
That I'm feeling. I am definitely feeling Poet Lafee, and this is Ayanna Jones. I'm sitting in for Kay Thompson and Gus Henningberg for the Kay and Gus Show, and we are broadcasting on the GoPro Radio Network. If you're interested in doing a show with us and having us help you engineer or even come up with a format for your show, we can market and promote. You can visit us at www.bwmovingimages.com. And click on the GoPro Radio link and find some information about, you know, some of the packages that we offer. Now, we are here with Poet Lafee, and we unfortunately had to interrupt her as she was about to read what I know is going to be another mind-blowing poem. And as you said, this is the one called Teacher, Are You There, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's go.
Imposter, where is my teacher? Are you a dream or a creature feature? Oh, yes, I remember. Oh, yes, I do. For I once had a teacher just like you, and I despised her through and through. Arrogant, snobbish, no feelings inside. At least not for me was she willing to provide. She gave facts and figures, words and sound. But in her body, not a caring bone could be found. Every time I would see her, my stomach turned. Trying to accept her, I had to learn. Though I could not understand why she did not care. She cared for the other kids who were there. Why doesn't she like me? I used to ask. No matter what, she would make me last. Now, seeing you just like her is very hard. Although I know there is a reward, I had to succeed and prove her wrong. I knew in my heart I had a song, although she tried to make me think that I was a zero each time she blinked. I knew a teacher I had to be there for kids just like me. Kids unloved, from families unlearned, facing the teacher who makes the stomach turn. But I learned from that teacher how not to be. And through caring, wonderful, loving teachers, I found the key. It is more than just your ABC. Number your paper and be quiet, please. It's more about, do you really care for the kids? Teacher, are you there? And so many people could relate to that poem. It was unbelievable when I started to read it as a part of my performances. Because no matter what kind of school you attend, public, private, or whatever, you're going to have to deal with difficult teachers, but there are always wonderful teachers there to balance it off. And I made up my mind earlier on that I wanted to be, make my life's work, a teacher. And that's what I did. I've worked 30 years in the field of education. Now I'm having a ball as a retired person.
Well, it's just amazing to me that every time you read a poem, they just keep getting better and better. We actually have a caller on the air. Let's take this caller. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hey, welcome to the Kanga Show.
Thank you. I have a question for Jose.
Pardon?
Sure.
Okay. Besides poetry, I mean, what are your future aspirations?
Well, I'm already a retired person, and I write music. I direct a choir at church. I teach a dance class. And I go from nursing home to nursing home, entertaining the elderly, playing Name That Tune, and I do songs from that era, not only religious music, but secular music as well. And I just have a great time. I get them to moving, shaking their arms and legs. And I worked for so many years with young children from kindergarten through 12th grade, and now this time that I'm spending with the elderly is a delight. I didn't have children of my own, so education as a vocation for me was more than just a job. You know, the kids I worked with, they were my kids, and I love now to run into some of them as adults, and it's the funniest thing because I'll have these grown people running up to me saying, "Oh, Miss Thompson, you was my music teacher. Do you remember teaching us this song?" And they start to sing, and it was 40 years ago. Somebody taught them 40 years ago, and it's like, okay, I must have made an impression on somebody. But that's a great delight.
I think it just goes to show, like when you have so much in you to give, and you may not even be thinking of it. You may have enjoyed teaching the kids music and, you know, coming in. But then you find, like you said, 40 years later, somebody comes up to you and you realize that something that you just probably would have done anyway and weren't even thinking about impacted somebody's life so much so that they remember it that long ago. Can you read for me, though, again, the first few lines of Teacher, Are You There? Those opening lines were so powerful. You know, it's like it was so attention grabbing. I just want you to read it one more time.
Imposter, where is my teacher? Are you a dream or a creature feature? Oh, yes, I remember. Oh, yes, I do. For I once had a teacher just like you, and I despised her through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogant and snobbish, no feelings inside, at least not for me. Was she willing to provide? Gave facts and figures, words and sound, but in her body not a caring bone could be found.
Now see that those opening lines right there. So what I really like about it is it's about your personal experience, yes. But it echoes the experience of so many young people. You know, when you look at, you know, overcrowded schools or schools where teachers come in from other neighborhoods and really don't care to spend the time to really teach the kids. They, like you said, they just come in and recite these facts and figures. It's really a political commentary on the educational system today. And for you to have written the poem so, you know, long ago and be drawing on experiences that happened so long ago, to find that people are still experiencing that, is just really interesting. You know, when you read your poems, I figured out what's so awesome about them. When you read your poems, it sounds almost like you're about to sing. And you remind me of Betty Wright. You know, there's a lot of soul in your poems. And even in the titles in and of themselves are poems. And I was wondering, do you have trouble choosing the titles for your poems? Do you find it hard to finally give a name to them once they're done? Or do you title them first? What's your process for that?
Not at all. Sometimes I know at the beginning the title of the poem, and sometimes after I write the poem, the title will appear somewhere in the poem.
Mm-hmm.
I think out of over 2,000 poems, I've only written one poem that's untitled, and that was recently, something up there on the computer. I can't remember what it was, but I couldn't think of a title, and that was just so unusual for me. But I had seen so many people or heard people on reading on open mic who would say untitled, untitled. So after I got tired of worrying with it, I just said, oh, it's untitled. But generally, my poems all have a title, yes.
So who's your favorite poet or some of your favorite poets?
Oh, I love Paul Laurence Dunbar. I love Phyllis Wheatley. Maya Angelou is my hero. And Langston Hughes, I absolutely love. And oh, my goodness, I just have learned to love poetry. And I had to learn to love poetry because it wasn't a part of my when I came up. You know. Now, James Weldon Johnson, I can remember in high school, I had a high school teacher who had us to memorize some James Weldon Johnson, God's Trombones.
Yeah.
You know, I was a music major in undergraduate school and taught music for many years, and currently I'm a vocalist as well as a choir director at a Presbyterian church in Toledo. So the music, you know, and the dancing, the music and the poetry and, you know, and in performance, it sort of fits all together to me, and, you know. But I absolutely love Paul Laurence Dunbar. He's one of my absolute favorites. And
yeah.
I like Nikki Giovanni. I mean, it's just, you know, you can go on and on with the wonderful poets of yesteryear as well as current, modern day.
Just like there's so many styles to choose from. I'm finding also that, you know, the poetry of the 60s and 70s, that, I mean, for me, you know, it was the height of... I wouldn't say creativity because, you know, that spans across the ages. But I would say there was really a hotbed of, you know, political commentary and creativity, pushing the boundaries all, you know, all across the board. You know, something that they often attribute to jazz music. You know, it seems like the poetry of the 60s and 70s really was like jazz music. And,
yeah.
You know, that always struck me about Paul Laurence Dunbar and, you know, Langston Hughes' poetry. Even Nikki Giovanni.
But I would tell you this, nowadays, some people, you know, if you close your mind to rap music, you'll miss some wonderful poetry. If you can wade your way through some of all of this stuff, there are some fantastic poets on the scene currently. And
so you
in
know,
some
gotta,
of the rap music are some beautiful messages. But,
you know,
you know,
I got to know now, who are some of your favorite rappers?
Oh, you know what? I don't know their names. I just listen to their music and listen to the message. Somebody sent something online the other day, and I couldn't tell you for the life of me who the poet or the artist is, but I know I was just fascinated.
Do you remember any of the lyrics?
And of course, Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tupac was a wonderful poet. But I know the message in the rap song was about the message for to young black men, and this thing about prison and being, it was something about a beast, you call yourself a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back into the past and talked about how this African pygmy had been put on display in a zoo, as if he was ought to be. It was a history lesson,
right,
as well as a lesson to the young African American men nowadays about, you know, watch what you do, watch what you say, learn about your history, know where you came from and know where you're going, and don't just fall into what is popular among your peers. I mean, it's a powerful message. I put it on my Facebook page. And told people, please click on this and go hear this child with this rap. And it's a rap song. And one lady sent me back and said, I'm just not into rap music. But that was a powerful message. I said,
well,
you have to be open-minded nowadays or you'll miss something wonderful.
Well, speaking of your Facebook page, we're actually going to go to break in 1 minute, but can you tell folks where they can reach you?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm on YouTube, but I don't have the... If they go to my blog, there's a you can click on a link. that will take you to YouTube where I'm reading poetry. And my email, if you can get in touch with me through my email.
What's your email?
It's LAFE, which is my pseudonym, Luffy, 672, which is my P.O. box number, at AOL.com. Now you can reach me there.
And I'll give folks your blog address so that they can log on and check out some of your poetry. Really fantastic poet. Poet Lafee, you can find her at www.blog.com/author/Lafee672. And that's L as in Larry, A, F as in Frank, E, 672. This is the Kay and Gus Show. I'm Ayanna Jones, sitting in for Kay and Gus. And you are tuned in on the GoPro Radio Network. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Poet Lafee.
And like Norman Mailer, me and Weather Ray, three daughters all by herself. With no help, I think about the struggle and the final strength of myself. These words melt in my mouth, they hot like the jail cell in the south. Before my nigga core bails me out.
Just get by.
Dialects and styles, the red skies, the window of the red eye, the lead blob, the cheap ass shit, nipping the lead dial.
I woke up, feeling brand new. I jumped up, feeling my high.
All right, and we're back on the air. This is Ayanna Jones sitting in for Kay and Gus. Hey, are you actually on the line with us?
Yes, I'm online.
Hey, sorry about that. We are.
That's right.
We're coming down to the wire with the show. I think it would be great if you could help me close out the show.
Uh-huh. Well, just let me say this to Lafayette. She mentioned James Weldon Johnson, and there was a poem by James Weldon Johnson that I heard in high school that led me to, you know, study dance seriously, and it started fat black bucks in a wine barrel room pounding on the table. I wanted to know more about the pounding on the table. I wanted to know about the black bucks. I wanted to know about Africa with that. I was in high school at that time. So it's really, really interesting that Lafayette, that you would mention that particular poem, which really meant so much, you know, in my background as a dancer, you know, wanting to be prima ballerina of the Western world, and the Western world wasn't ready. So, but anyway, really interesting. The poetry is absolutely, absolutely fantastic, Lafayette. Thank you so much. You know, thank you, Ayanna. I'm going to hang up and, you know, let you guys just close out. It's been absolutely wonderful. I so enjoyed this, and I know Gus did too.
Bye, me. I miss you.
Miss you too, me.
There's a whole story behind that. We'll probably blog about it later. But listen, this has been a fantastic show. I really, you know, have the utmost respect for Poet Lafee, not just because she's pursuing her dreams as an artist, but you just got such a class and grace about yourself. And I can tell that there's a lot of pride in just how you present your poems. They're very inviting, and they make people want to know more. Love to be able to get copies of your book if I could. Can you tell folks how they can do that?
Yes. You can simply write me directly.
Okay, so I can give them your email address. Well, if you want to get copies of Lafee's book, you can email her at lafee672@aol.com. That's lafee672@aol.com. Her blog is ae672.blog.com/author/Lafee672. Poet Lafee, thank you so much. Kay, Gus, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to sit in on this wonderful show. I tune in every week, and I'm very proud to be a part of this. We are on the GoPro Radio Network, and you can find out more information about our network at www.bwmovingimages.com. Again, I'm Ayanna Jones, sitting in for Kay and Gus on the Kay and Gus Show, and I thank everybody for tuning in. Join us next week.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a thought that Jesus after the story has never been told. So now you see the light, hey, and stand up for your eyes. Come on,
get up, stand up, stand up for your eyes.